All right. Thanks, Jack. I guess since he mentioned CSU, I got to do both Colorado and Wyoming. We've got South Dakota and Nebraska here, so it's supposed to be twice as good. I really wouldn't count on that. I pulled up a map of Wyoming to show you kind of where we were at, and that picture was right there. You know, I pulled it up on Google Images, and there was a cow right there in Saratoga, a black cow right where it's supposed to be. So I think that was a sign for me that it's nice to be home. That's where we're at. The same family's owned the ranch since 1978, so they've got 35 years in this deal. They know the ranch real well. They're committed to it. It's a pretty typical Mountain Valley situation. We sell all of our calves through Superior Livestock Auction on a VAC 45 program. They're weaned. They only weigh about 400 and a quarter. Those are really nice calves, flexible. They go to California to grass. A lot of them come to Nebraska. Some of them go down to Kansas for wheat. There's just a lot of flexibility in those things. And they typically top the market, but I think because there's a lot of options for those calves. And so we're happy with that weight. We're owned by a family, but we're 100% paid labor. We don't receive any family labor. We're all employees. I'm a paid manager. We have paid employees to run the ranch. We're probably higher elevation than most of you in this room. Our low spot's right on the North Platte River out of Saratoga there, and we go up to 9,500 or 10,000 feet on some forest ground. We only get about 9 inches of rain a year at the ranch, so we're probably less than most of you sitting here in the room. One thing that's really unique to us is that the vast majority of our forage comes off irrigated meadows, either off the North Platte River or a little tributary called Pass Creek. We've got about 6,500 acres of flood-irrigated ground. And you can see that little orange thing up there. If you guys don't know what that is, that's the most important thing on our ranch. That's the most important and simplest piece of equipment we can use. If we don't get out there and irrigate, we don't grow feed. So we've got some good people that know what they're doing there, but it's a real simple piece of technology, but it's invaluable for us. A little just past history about the ranch before I got there, and I hope that looks a bit like an obituary with the dates up there. You know, we really spent 34 years trying to get good at making hay. Producing it, you know, it's a pretty picture. I mean, the mountain in the background, the clean cut field, the nice red tractor and baler, it looks nice. But the problem is you start work planning to figure out what that takes, and so March and April, you're out there dragging those meadows. April and June, got to flood irrigate, you know, get out there, chop the ice so you can irrigate, and we run out of water pretty early. July through September, we're out there driving this equipment, haying. And then come November, start feeding. Real typical western mountain deal, southwest Wyoming, western Colorado. Feed 2.5 ton from November through May. And, you know, similar to the South Dakota example, she gave 5 months of feeding. So that really left us October off that we weren't haying. But really, we still had to feed the replacement heifers and the calves and then pick up the bales left in the field. So I don't think that was much of a vacation. So something had to change, and I think that's why they hired me to come to the ranch, part of it. So I'm going to talk about some things we've done in the last year and a half to manage our costs. And I kind of have an advantage of coming into a new situation and looking at the ranch with fresh eyes, which some of us don't have that perspective. If you've grown up on the ranch your whole life, we tend to think it is what it is. So I've kind of had a unique opportunity there. But the first thing when we come and when I look at it is it's really basic. I look at this. And what is profit on a ranch? And it's real simple to express how to get that. It's revenue minus direct cost or variable cost, however you want to term that, and that gets us our gross margin, like Chip talked about. We want to talk about increasing margin, okay? And then you take, so that's how much money we have to cover our overheads, which is the paid staff like me and things that don't change if we run more or less cows in the drought situation. And ranching is really a fixed cost game, real overhead heavy thing. And once we take out that overheads, we get our taxes, our pre-tax profit, what we have left to pay the bank, pay Uncle Sam, And then that goes back in the owner's pockets at the end of the year. So I want to talk about our costs. And the same thing as Chip said, these are going to be cash costs for us at the ranch. There's no opportunity cost here. There's no what the hay might have been worth or the grazing might have been worth. This is real cash. This is what we paid in the checkbook. So the first one is employee for us. That's salary, insurance, benefits, pension, anything it takes for that cash employee. We don't have any volunteer labor. And that, of course, goes into overheads. And we went to a situation, we got rid of 20% of the cows the last year. Well, we weren't going to let some of our good people go. We had plenty of staff turnover, but the ones we really needed to keep, we're going to keep them there. The second one, fed feed. So this is purchased fed feed off the ranch, supplements. And the tricky situation for me in terms of managing costs is this is something that really actually had to go up for our situation. There wasn't enough protein supplement to the cows in the winter to get good body condition score at calving and then have good rebreed rates. And those weaned vac 45 calves, they were just putting lick tubs out there and meadow aftermath and feeding them some 3% protein hay and really getting no gain. So part of the reason I think the calves brought a lot of money is because they weren't getting any gain. They were green, as you can imagine, and they just put them on feed and they exploded. So I actually had to come in and spend more money on my second biggest cost, which is kind of a tough thing to do. But that's a direct cost. And so it actually improved our margin because we got better reproduction on the cows. And then our post-weaning gain on the calves went from nothing to about 80 pounds. So, multiply that by 2,500 calves, and it's significant. The third one is machinery. I mean, if you can imagine putting up and feeding 75 ton of hay a year, it takes a lot of machinery to do that. And it takes a lot of backup machinery for that when it breaks down. And then sometimes some backup machinery for the backup machinery. So we really have a lot of machinery. And that is another overhead. If we'd have run 300 less cows, it wouldn't matter. It'd still be there. And so that's how we broke it down. And when I came to the ranch, those are the first three things, we looked at. And I'm going to talk to you here today just as an example. Not necessarily something you need to follow, but this is the process I went through. I'm going to use machinery. I've got a couple of the guys here today, and they probably don't want me to talk about reducing employee costs or getting rid of them or their paycheck going down or benefits going down, and nor do I want to do that. So we'll kind of go through what I did to kind of go through one area of our highest cost. And so machinery, the first thing was to really write it down, get to the minimum we need to run the ranch. Not necessarily what's been done in the past, but really step back and think through, okay, what do I absolutely have to run this place? And then I like to factor in turnover rates. Okay, so I have these tractors or pickups or four-wheelers or ATVs or whatever. Same thing with cows. How long are they going to last? How long are they going to be here? What's my replacement rate going to be? And then continue to pare down that list of minimum requirements, because it's always human nature to think, well, we've got this here, we need that list. And what I tried to do is step back from what we had at the ranch to what we need at the ranch. But the first cut, we always have too much stuff left. There's too much equipment, too much extra feed on inventory, too much this or that. So we continue. I think I probably look at this list once a month. So Santa makes his list and checks it twice. I make the list and check it every month. And the last thing there is get rid of any excess. Sell anything that we don't absolutely need. And for those of you in the back, I kind of apologize. This is the list I have right now for hay equipment, tractors. We're still putting up quite a bit of hay, actually. We've cut it about in half in a year, and we probably need to cut it in half again. But I don't want to go through the 15% drop in preg rate on our stuff the first year. So we're kind of transitioning down. So I've got a list up there, of tractors, what their horsepower, some description about them, how long their life is, how long I expect to keep them. So I expect to keep that first tractor 10 years. And so turns per year are, that's kind of like replacement rate on cows, okay? That's a 10% replacement rate on tractors, 0.1, and what I'm going to use it for. And that's four tractors is quite a bit, but we had 12 when I got there. So I don't feel too bad about that. And one of the things this allows me to do is communicate with the guys, the staff, the owners, what our plan's going to be. And then at the bottom, I have 11 total pieces of equipment there. Five have engines, or six. I think I got that wrong. But anyways, I know I'm going to have to purchase about 1.15 per year, or 0.6 with equipment. So if a tractor and a swather cost $100,000, I'm going to have to spend about $60,000 a year on tractors and swathers if I follow this plan. So that makes it a lot easier for my budgeting. This is probably a little easier to follow. So trucks, I have the same thing on trucks. Trucks are something on a ranch that's really easy to have extras. And I've gotten this situation myself before when there's kind of some spares over here and we had a summer intern and then we have some weekend help that might come out and then I have a truck for them. And well, that one's still pretty good, but I can't sell it for much, so I'll keep it around. So I'll have each employee listed up there. There's five of us that are basically the production employees and then two summer people. And I have what type of truck they want to drive. Not necessarily what they have right now. Some of the guys that are here with me have extended cabs, and I have them up there regular cabs. Well, I'm not necessarily going to sell them out right now, but I think for that position, that's the right kind of vehicle. How many miles per year I think they're going to make divided by that mileage, that kind of gives me a fuel estimate for those trucks. Life expectancy for those vehicles, and then replacement rate again. And to me, it's kind of a simple thing. It makes a list of what I expect to have for this particular portion of the operation. And that's seven trucks. I had 12 when I got there. So again, we're dropping it back. I plan to drive about 79,000 miles a year, burn up about 6,900 gallons of fuel. So when I go to do that budget and sit down and make a plan, I know I can take that number right there, 6,900 gallons of fuel, times my cost per fuel, whatever I think it's going to be. Say it's a little over $3, so there's $21,000 to $25,000 a year I should be using in gasoline. And pickups, the turnover per year, same thing with that replacement rate. I'm going to need to buy about 0.7 trucks a year. If a truck's $30,000, I'm going to need to spend about $20,000 a year on trucks. And this list, I can kind of, it helps me for budgeting. I can communicate to the employees what we're going to have. I communicate to the owners. This is kind of the plan going forward. And not be kind of just telling them, oh, I need, by the way, I need a truck next year. They'll be like, you kidding me? You got 15 of them already. So it sure eases it. And the last thing I had previously was sell any excess. And this is one that really kind of hit home for me this year, and we've done a lot of this. I've had three sales on BigIron.com once we went through this list. Not to plug anybody, but it was a really good way that people from Nebraska, Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, they would come and buy the stuff on the ranch that we didn't need. And I don't love equipment. I don't know what half the stuff does out there that we had, you know, for farming, and looked like a rust bucket to me. I was ready to call the scrap dealer and say, hey, come on down. I'm glad I didn't. It worked out pretty well for us. That third point there, you know, we were able to basically cash out about $150 per cow. So you can take whatever your ranch is and multiply it by 150. That's about what we got. And for most people, that's sizable. There's two ways to look at that, I guess, in my mind, is that's a one-time revenue thing, or it's also a reduction in investment. You know, really, when we think about business decisions, I like to think about return on investment. If I put this money out there, what am I going to get back? So that's $150 less that the owners have invested in that operation on a per cow basis. I put local equipment dealer up there. You know, we start using less equipment, it's a little hard on the local economy. At least people tell me that. And I can see why. But one thing I think that's helped is some of the items we sold, I've went to the local dealer and said, hey, we're going to change. Like, we can't operate this way. We're bleeding red ink. But, hey, can you help me sell this tractor or this baler? You know, then they get a cut of it too, so they're not getting totally cut out of the equation. The other thing that we've really noticed, and I like to talk to the guys about, is having a lot of pride in the operation. I think they could work anywhere, you know. Why did they come work at TA Ranch? Why do the owners own TA Ranch? You know, they could go work at an oil field or refinery, but, you know, cowboys have a lot of pride. They take a lot of pride in the job they do. And I'll tell you what, driving into a ranch that's clean, that's picked up, that doesn't have trashy equipment laying around, I can hire the best kind of guy that's going to take care of his stuff. If I drive into a cowboy's house and he's got 10 junk cars there, his junky old horse trailer, 2 broke-down ranch pickups, a broke-down ranch four-wheeler, wonder how his fences are going to look, you know? Wonder how his cows are going to look. Probably not very good, right? And if a guy takes pride in his personal stuff, the ranch's stuff, he's going to do a better job with the millions of dollars worth of assets in land and cattle that I give him stewardship over. And so it may seem like a small thing, but attitude is a big deal, employees. And that little piece of junk sitting by the stackyard right there was $5,000 in our pocket. I would have thrown it in the scrapyard. And I had a lot of things just like that. So some of the things I think we've seen in the last 2 years, you know, just a huge reduction in costs. And a lot of the excess was, it's just like Chip's hay example. It was waste. It was loss. Extra pickups, you got to insure them. You got to license them. You drive them one day, they're going to break down. Same thing with tractors. We got rid of them. And it's just a weight off our shoulders. It's a lot less work. I mean, putting up all that hay and having all that equipment is really more work than I like to do. And I think it's a lot less stress on the guys, too. The last bit of that, you know, I talked about writing it down on paper and having a plan, and that doesn't just solve everything. You know, that we know it's all connected, and as we focus on going from putting all that hay up, there's obviously a connection between grazed forage and machinery costs. As grazed forage goes up, machinery costs go down. And you kind of laugh at that tractor right there crashed in the middle of the road. Well, tell you what, the more you put cowboys in equipment, the more that kind of stuff happens. I mean, we're in like this new age of Facebook and everything else. My wife's on Facebook, and all of our cowboys are. And I tell you what, we've had some pictures like this, a little bit worse, on Facebook this year, and they'll have like 80 likes on them, okay? For those that know about that, you know, all their buddies look at their equipment wrecks and buried in mud and different type of things. Well, those get pretty expensive. And, you know, tomorrow morning at home, it's going to be 20 below. There's plenty of grass out there. Our cows aren't going to go hungry, you know. They're all going to start tomorrow. Every one of those cows is going to go eat some grass. And, you know, there's not even really anybody home to start the tractor, so I don't know if they're going to start or not. But I assume we'd have some troubles with that potentially. So, you know, the lessons that I took into this from last year and a half at the ranch is to look at the financial statement first. We have to have good financial statement. And I really like it grouped by, on the cost side, the direct cost or variable cost need to be separated from the overhead, because they are very different. And when extreme things come up, you know, like in Chip's case, it allows us to know what the issue was. Maybe the overheads aren't running away. Maybe our direct costs aren't too bad, you know, but it gives me a place to start. And the other thing, you know, that list of 3 things I had to work on, those might not be my favorite 3 things, you know. I really like raising bulls. I enjoy doing it. Well, bull cost wasn't on my list, you know. So did I start with raising bulls as soon as I got to the ranch? Heck no, I did not. I started on the 3 things that could make a real significant difference to the bottom line. And I like what Chip said there. I keep going back to what he says, but I like a lot of what he says, and I have a lot of respect for him. So But writing it down, you know, for me, any kind of plan we do, it's a grazing plan, it's the equipment plan, it's the cow replacement plan. We write it down, I can edit it, and then I communicate it to the owners and employees. You know, as we were going through a lot of changes at the ranch in the last year and a half, I sure haven't been perfect about that. But if the guys can know and everybody can know, this is the plan, okay? I put it on paper. One, it makes me think about it a lot better. And two, it gives them a chance to have feedback on it and input in it. And three, I mean, we all, even if we're the owner, we usually have to talk to a bank or somebody else. And it makes us a lot better managers if we can write it down and be accountable for our actions up front. It's a whole lot better to find a mistake before we actually do it, in my mind. So with that.